From the studios of the Living on Earth Network in Cambridge, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth Today. The war in Iraq has ornithologists worried about the millions of birds that are now flying on their annual migration to their northern breeding grounds. For the birds that will use Iraq as a resting and feeding stopover, the timing of the conflict could be devastating. Oil spills, smoke from oil fires, and the destruction of habitat are just some of the dangers that could befall the scores of species now taking to the air. I spoke to Phil Hockey, a migration specialist at the Percy Fitzpatrick Institute of African Ornithology at the University of Cape Town in South Africa. Professor Hockey, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you.
You've been quoted, Professor, as saying, from a biodiversity point of view, this is the worst possible time of year to have a war in Iraq. Why is that?
Primarily because this is the time of year when there are physically the greatest numbers and probably the greatest diversity of birds in Iraq, because on one hand, there are some birds that have been spending the northern winter there that are still there, and on the other hand, huge numbers of birds are moving through Iraq on their way from Africa and Arabia to breeding grounds in mostly western and central Russia.
What are the species of most concern to you?
Well, there's a huge diversity of species, ranging from birds that are mostly reliant on the Arabian Gulf coast itself to others that migrate along the big rivers of the Tigris and the Euphrates, and those that stop over on the plateau areas of Iraq. So to pick out one or two birds would be difficult. There are three birds that breed in Iraq and nowhere else in the world, and those are obviously of some concern as well.
And what are those birds?
One is a bird called an Iraq babbler. Another is a grey hypocoleus. And the third is a bird that actually migrates almost all the way to southern Africa, which is the Basra reed warbler.
Can previous conflict in this area tell us anything about how these birds will fare this time around?
Yes, it can actually tell us quite a bit. And, I mean, a war like this, maybe we should step back a little bit and have a quick look at the kind of impact it can actually have. Obviously, there's a physical impact, a direct physical impact on habitats, on environments, caused by things like the movements of vehicles, mass movement of refugees, burning of vegetation, and then you've got other problems coming from pollution, from things like oil spills, well fires, bombing, and then there is, of course, the potential for the direct extinction of taxa that occur nowhere else in the world, and that is highly likely to happen. But let's look at a couple of the wars that have already happened and some of the effects that have been documented. The first war, or the first of the recent wars of significance, was the war that ran from 1980 to 1988 between Iraq and Iran. And one of the major impacts of that war, in fact, occurred in the south of Iraq, because a lot of people think of Iraq as being a rather inhospitable lump of desert positioned in what's essentially a sea of other inhospitable deserts. But the south of Iraq, at least until 30 years ago, had some really spectacular wetlands. This is in the area that used to be called Mesopotamia. And it was estimated that the extent of those wetlands was somewhere between 15 and 20,000 square kilometers. And since the early 1970s, that area has been reduced by more than 90% by things such as dams, water transfer schemes, and so on. And those wetlands were probably the most important single wetlands in Western Eurasia for wintering birds, particularly wintering waterfowl. All that remains of those wetlands today is about 50 square kilometers. The wetlands themselves were quite badly degraded during the Iran-Iraq war, mostly by bombing and also by the widespread use of napalm and chemical weapons. One of the big concerns, or one of the salutary lessons of that war for the present war, is that those remaining 50 square kilometers of wetlands could literally disappear. As long as they exist, which they do at the moment, there is some potential for their rehabilitation. Should they disappear completely, that potential has probably disappeared along with them.
So we've probably already seen species extinction in this part of the world anyway.
The supposition is that, yes, we probably have. Probably not bird extinctions, but there may well have been extinctions of, for example, endemic amphibians associated with those marshland areas. It's hard to imagine reducing a wetland from 20,000 square kilometres to 50 square kilometres without having somewhere along the line affected some extinctions, extinctions we probably don't know about.
And the effect on bird life during the last Gulf War?
The oil spills and the oil fires that happened during that war had really dramatic effects. There was an oil spill in the northern Arabian Gulf, which blanketed about 560 kilometers of coastline. And it's estimated that during the time that that spill was, as it were, active, that something in the order of half of all the water birds in the area died. But what was actually almost more concerning in a way was that after that war, in the April and May that followed that war, which is the time when the migrating birds are heading north, the number of migratory water birds in that part of the Arabian Gulf was estimated to have been reduced by about 97%. So that was a huge impact. And one tends to very often think of the impacts of oil as being predominantly or exclusively in coastal environments. What happened, of course, in Kuwait during the war there was that it was estimated that about 25% of all the desert in Kuwait was covered either in oil or in really heavy deposits of oily soot. That wasn't quite as large a proportion as was estimated to have been severely damaged by military vehicles that or military activities. That was estimated at about 90%.
So a number of these birds have already taken off, are on their migratory route. We can assume others will soon follow. What happens when they get to areas of conflict and it's just not hospitable enough for them to hang around? Can they simply turn around at a certain point?
Well, yes, there are documented cases of migratory birds that have met unfavorable conditions on their migrations and have actually turned back and gone back to wherever it was that they'd spent the non-breeding season. The only documented examples I know of actually don't relate to human activities at all. They relate to things like cyclones or really bad weather conditions that basically prevent them from carrying on their northward journey. But in terms of who's going to be affected, I think one has to understand a little bit about the nature of migration itself. And there are two really important points to make here. One is that migratory behavior is inherited. In other words, individual birds are programmed as to where they will migrate and when they will migrate. So there's a limited amount of flexibility in the individual. So that's the one important point. And the other is that birds, particularly small birds or birds that are migrating long distances, cannot make that migration in a single flight. They basically run out of petrol and they have to stop in somewhere and refuel. And those refueling stops can take anything from a couple of days to 2 or 3 weeks, depending on the size of the bird. We're fairly sure that these stopover sites are also probably programmed into the birds, and there are definitely stopover areas in Iraq. So if birds are prevented from either from using those stopover areas at all, because the stopover area might have been literally destroyed, or are prevented from using it efficiently, there can be all sorts of consequences. In the extreme example, where habitats all but disappear, the birds may be unable to continue their migration. Some of them may, of course, directly be killed. Or alternatively, what could happen is if there's a lot of disturbance in stopover areas, such as the remaining wetlands in Mesopotamia, the birds aren't able to feed as efficiently. In other words, it takes them longer to refill their tank. And if that happens, particularly for birds that are migrating to high northern latitudes, they run a real risk of arriving late on the breeding grounds. And if you arrive late on the breeding grounds on the fringes of the Arctic, you're in serious trouble. You may be too late to find a mate, or perhaps most serious of all, you may arrive too late to have a long enough period of summer remaining in which to breed. Because right on the fringes of the Arctic Ocean, the breeding season is little more than 7 or 8 weeks.
How soon after this war, after the fighting, will we be able to know how these birds fared?
there are several reasons why that's difficult to assess, because, you know, obviously birds migrating north from Africa up to Russia, they certainly don't all go through Iraq. So it would be quite difficult to put it in a global context. It might be more easy for some of the species that breed in Iraq, although we must also be aware of the fact that the sort of the ornithological information available for Iraq in the last 10 or 15 years is certainly not the best in the world. It hasn't been exactly a major focus of ornithological activities. So I think it will be very difficult to answer that. I think there will be some instances where there may be mass mortalities of very large birds, such as storks or cranes or pelicans, which are fairly easy to see. But mass mortalities of small birds, they're not so easy to detect. And most of the examples where those kind of mass mortalities have been observed have been either due to really bad weather conditions. You know, we've had instances in which literally millions of individuals have died in snowstorms, or they've been related to drought in the southern part of the Sahara.
As an ornithologist, as I'm assuming a scientist who not only studies birds but probably loves them, what is your feeling today about what's about to happen in that part of the world?
Well, I think that on a long-term basis, perhaps the greatest single threat posed by the war would be the final destruction of the Mesopotamian wetlands. That loss to date has been described by the United Nations as one of the most globally significant environmental impacts of the last three decades. And if those wetlands were to go, and as a result effectively be removed from the possibility of rehabilitation or restoration, that would be, I think, a really serious environmental impact. Yes, things like, you know, oil and soot and what have you will have an impact that may be measurable certainly in years, and perhaps in some instances in decades, you know, environmental toxicity. But assuming that this war does in fact sort out the problems that parts of the world have with Iraq, those things in time will recover. But if those wetlands disappear, the bottom line, the general feeling among environmentalists is that they won't recover.
Phil Hockey is a professor of zoology at the Percy Fitzpatrick Institute of African Ornithology at the University of Cape Town in South Africa. Professor, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
You can hear Living on Earth on National Public Radio and the World Radio Network. To find a member station near you, go to www.loe.org or www.npr.org. This is Living on Earth Today.